Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, here we go. You know, I don't know how they do it, but they do it. These ladies are experts in how you train service dogs. And service dogs, I mean, when you see what they do for people who are handicapped or impaired with visually, it's amazing how they do it. So the two ladies are Dixie Yerda and Katie Tyler, and they're surrounding the table with somebody who knows nothing about what they're about to tell me about. So we start off, ladies, by getting you all to tell us a little bit about yourself. So, Dixie, we'll start with you.
Okay, I am originally from Florida, a simple southern girl that's been cold this week.
Yeah.
I retired 35 years of working with the Polk County School Board. So 35 years in elementary education was enough, and it was time to retire and move on and start working with dogs.
Did you teach?
No.
No, you were administrative staff.
I was a secretary, an elementary school secretary, and then moved up to the district office and spent my last 19 years in the district office talking to angry parents.
So you substituted dogs for kids, is that it?
Definitely, because they don't talk back.
Okay, see if you can beat that one, Katie. Go ahead, tell us about you.
So I'm Katie Tyler. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Suburb to the north.
Suburb of Rock Hill to the north. My husband calls me a serial volunteer because I've been involved in so many nonprofits over the years. My career was in commercial construction. I founded a construction company in 1983, mainly because no other construction company would hire me, and I said, well, I'll just do it myself. I sold it a few years ago, and now I'm fully retired doing whatever I want, and I often tell people I don't know how I had time to work. When I started raising guide dogs in 1999, it was time to change the logo for my company, and every time I would meet with the marketing director, I'd have one of my dogs with me, and he said, you know, there's this new thing called branding where you match your passion to your work. And so my logo became a dog, and it still is the dog, and the person who bought the company from me maintains that logo today, Tyler 2 Construction.
Good for you. So what kind of stuff did you build? Homes business?
All commercial.
All commercial.
All commercial.
Oh, boy.
A lot of retail, mostly banks, high-end office space.
You didn't build any of those big towers downtown, did you?
Built out the interior of almost every downtown building downtown.
Really?
Yes.
Good for you.
I've worked in every building downtown, I believe.
So how did you two hook up? Because you both are in this business of creating service dogs from scratch. Did you meet along this path?
We both represent Southeastern Guide Dogs, which is located in Palmetto, Florida. And they have puppy-raising clubs in seven different states. And there is a club in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's a wonderful club to be involved with and to raise puppies with. And at the meetings, Katie and I met last year at a downtown Charlotte puppy meeting.
About that. And so a wonderful partnership blossomed.
Exactly.
All right, good. So now you've been doing this thing about training dogs ever since you hung it up from school, right?
Right. When I retired, I got into this. I got into it. My mother was blind, and we had a guide dog when I was younger. And when the dog passed away, my brother and I wanted her to get another one, but she didn't need it. She said she had us. So we became her dogs for the rest of her life. But I'm a puppy raiser, not a trainer.
Right.
I raise the puppies, housebreak them, teach them house manners, basic obedience, and then we expose them to life after their puppy kindergarten for 6 weeks. They earn a jacket, which means I can take that dog anywhere I go and nobody can say anything. She goes to church, to the movies, out to eat. Wherever we go, we got a dog.
And that's, you know, this is how this all started, because Dixie goes to the same church I do, and I notice this lady in front of me with a dog. And, of course, I want to go pet the dog. And first thing out of her mouth, no, do not touch the dog. Leave the dog alone. And I said, what's going on here? So I started to learn a little bit about this. Actually, my wife learned a lot about this. And that's how we came onto this topic today. So when the dog earns its vest, you start taking them out, and you bring your dogs to church, and they just lie there right at your feet?
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Every once in a while, you'll have one that maybe doesn't lay all the time, but they're supposed to lay. Like when you take them out to eat, they should get under their chair and stay down. And those are some of the things that we try to teach them to do, is to behave in public. Good manners.
Right. So did you have any trouble taking a dog into a restaurant?
I have never had anybody question me.
I've been thrown out of some good places.
Have you?
Yes.
Because you know what?
The guideline is even though there is a law in North Carolina, a state house bill that gives dogs in training the same access rights as full service dogs, we don't want to make a scene. If somebody asks us to leave, we inform them. But if they still ask us to leave, we leave because we don't want any bad faith.
Right. When you take your dog out to the public, your dogs have a vest on them as well?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So it's clearly identified what the dog's all about. Okay.
Right, absolutely. And you use them, too, as an educational tool. Like if a child comes up there, you tell them, you say, you know what, you need to learn. If you see a dog in a jacket, don't run up to him and don't pet him because it distracts them from their work.
Okay, so where do the dogs come from? Let's start with 101. Where do you get the dogs?
The school gives them to you.
The school, the Southeastern...
guide dogs.
Guide dogs.
They breed the dogs at the school.
Aha.
And they have got a very intense, very studious breeding program. So they only get the best of the best. I've been involved with the school since 1999, and we used to have many more breeds than we do now. We used to raise Vizslas, bearded collies, golden retrievers, labs. Now we only do labs and golden doors, which are a combination of golden retrievers and labs. Those are the two breeds that we breed at the school to send out to raisers because they have the highest success rate.
Isn't that something? So speaking of success rates, that's what this is all about. You want to get the dogs out into the hands of those who need them. As quick as you can, because I'm sure there's more demand than you have dogs. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Yes.
All right. So you get this puppy. It starts with you. Is that right, Dixie?
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Well, the school, when the puppies are born, when they're 2 days old, they start handling them and holding them and getting them accustomed to the human, to hand, to the touch. And then when their eyes are open, they actually start walking them and working with them. And when you get them at 10 weeks, they're accustomed to being handled, they're accustomed to being talked to, and some of them are like almost housebroken because they have people at the school, when they see them start sniffing, they run them outside. And it starts literally at 2 days old.
Isn't that amazing? So now do you do the same thing, Katie?
I do the same thing.
You do the same thing?
Yeah, I'm on my ninth puppy now.
Ninth puppy?
Yes.
And it normally takes you all how long to get a puppy ready to go off to the training?
We keep the dogs between a year and a year and a half, depending on the breed, depending on their maturity level. We have to go to meetings a couple times a month or go to virtual meetings so they keep up with the dog's progress. The dog that I'm raising right now is very immature for her age, so she's staying out longer with me than my other dogs have, which... in one way, I'm thrilled about. In another way, I wish she would hurry up and mature because she's still a puppy, even though she's 14 months old. So they keep an eye on them, and they know when they're ready. But it's usually around 14 months when they go back to school.
So you are communicating regularly with Southeastern Guide Dogs?
We have a club leader in Charlotte of our puppy club, and she's in constant contact with the school for new rules or new procedures and new things that come out, we're always updated. And the best part is we always know where our puppies go.
Ah, well, you're getting the cart ahead of the horse here. Hold on a second. I'm curious, how do you do the training that you do to get the dog to be obedient? In other words, when you try to get the dog just to lay down, you just say, lay down?
Just down. Down.
And so you push them down so they know what down means?
And you have a hand signal, goes down with them.
Okay.
And eventually you don't even have to say down. You can just take your hand and go. But it's when they do it correctly, you say yes. That's a marker word. And you give them a treat. Ah. So they'll do anything for a treat.
That's true.
I always have treats in my back pocket.
Well, good. Because if my dog was here, she would be in your pocket, I can tell you that.
But so, you just basically, you go to your meetings, and they show you how the procedures and the way they want you to teach them, like sit, stay, down, stand.
Okay. So you take the dog with you to the meetings?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Okay. And what happens when you get a whole bunch of people there with their dogs at the meeting? Does it become controlled chaos?
More control than chaos, but obviously the younger the dog, the more chaos. But if you get a bunch of mature dogs in there, you know, a year or so old, they're pretty well behaved all the time.
Isn't this something?
They listen to their handler.
All right, so you all have a benchmark that you have to meet before you send the dog off for guide dog training, is that correct?
Yeah.
The dog has to do what?
Behave.
The biggest thing is settle. The biggest thing they tell us our job is a socialization. House training, house manners, and socialization. You can teach a smart dog to do any command, really. If you're consistent enough, anybody can teach a smart dog to do a command. It's the socialization part of it that is not normal with most dogs because most dogs can't go
places. So define socialization. What do you mean by
that? Coming here and thinking that being here in a restaurant is normal. Most people say, oh my gosh, if I brought my dog to a restaurant, they'd be sniffing the floor, they would be, you know, jumping all over people. I could never do that. Our dogs come in, lay down, and stay down until we leave.
Without you having to do anything.
It might be the second or third time that you take them out that they do that.
Right.
Because you have to train them.
So is there punishment for the dog?
Never. Never.
Okay. It's all positive.
All positive.
Mm-hmm. All positive.
I took my dog to skiing with me in Colorado when she was 6 months old. And she went on the plane with me. She fit right under the seat in front of me on the plane. And most people, when they got up to get off the plane, said, oh, my gosh, I never knew there was a dog there.
Isn't that something?
At 6 months.
Mm-hmm. All right. So are there a list of, I don't know, a dozen commands that your dog has to be able to...
It's closer to 20.
20.
Yes.
20. 20 different commands. My dog only responds to, here's a treat.
That's what we do as puppy raisers, but now when they go back to the school, Guide Dog University, they have 45 one-word commands they have to learn. But the certified trainers teach them those.
Okay. So your dog has to pass a litmus test of 20 commands. Can you rattle off those 20?
Probably not off the top of my head, but they're the standards. Sit, stay, come, down, under, down,
settle,
close.
Anyway,
there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them.
Yes, there's a lot of them.
And it takes you only about a year to 18 months to do this?
Yes.
That's pretty good. So you're doing this like all the time.
Yes.
This is not... We're going to do it on Monday and not do it the rest of the week.
No, it's 7 days a week.
And the other thing is we have to teach them to busy on command.
What does that mean?
That means to go to the bathroom outside. We have to take them outside. And when you say busy, they need to squat and busy immediately.
Oh, I see. They don't ever tell you, I got to go. I can't wait for your command.
they do that also. They'll go to the door and tell you they need to go out, but the main part is busy on command. And I've had dogs that did not have to go, but they squatted just so they'd say, okay, check the box, I did what you asked.
So there's a final exam of some sort?
There is, actually.
Really?
Yes. And I am the person who gives the final exam.
So you'll give Dixie's dog the final exam?
Yes. Before she goes back to school. Within about a month of her going back to school, yes.
Have you ever had one of Dixie's dogs fail?
I have not had one of Dixie's dogs do my final exam yet.
Oh. Yeah,
my last one that I wrote, Nick, that went to church with me all the time.
The one that I try to hassle.
Yeah, the one, Nick, the reddish-colored lab.
All right.
Who is now a service dog with a veteran.
Oh, wow. Isn't that great?
She's very exciting, doing real good.
All right. So the Southeastern Guide Dog Company, whatever they are. Are you all volunteers that work with them?
Yes, we are volunteers.
All volunteers.
All volunteers.
All volunteers. God,
and how many of them, like you, are there around here?
This area, there's about 20.
20.
Mm-hmm. 20 raisers.
All ladies?
No, we
have some men.
Good.
Yeah.
Because men have less tolerance for,
Actually, some of our male raisers are some of the best.
Really?
They're some of the most consistent, even-keeled. There's a saying that what happens at this end of the leash happens at that end of the leash. And if you get really excited at your end of the leash, the dog's going to get really excited. And I've seen some raisers, especially first-time raisers, that, they just got to calm down a little bit.
So if somebody wanted to get involved with this, with your club, what do they have to do? Just say, I want to raise a dog?
They say they have to raise. They want to raise a dog.
Right.
They have to come to a couple of meetings to see what it's all about.
Yep.
They have to do some volunteer work with us.
Okay.
I've been involved with the school since 1999, and this is the first time that we have had as long a waiting list for dogs as we have ever had. And there's a number of reasons for that. But one of the main reasons is there are not enough puppy raisers. And whenever I talked to people about it, they said, I couldn't do that because I could not give them up. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's the most rewarding
thing
you'll ever
do. You're giving somebody back their life, and you're giving them their independence. But you can go online to guidedogs.org. That's their website. And there's a link that says raise a puppy. And you click on that, and there is a very simple application that you fill out. And then somebody in this area, somebody from the Charlotte area, will call you.
Isn't that great? Now, tell me, was this a pre-COVID problem, or is this just a post-COVID problem? She didn't have enough people.
I think COVID exacerbated it. But I think a lot of it is just that people are so busy with their lives right now. They're not taking the time to do volunteer work, and it manifests itself in lack of puppy raisers.
But as you point out, and I thought this was great, Dixie, the way you phrase it, you're giving somebody back their life. Explain that a little bit.
Well, a disabled veteran, a dog can help them do so many things that they can't do. But as the blind people, like I said, my mother was blind, and I can remember what really triggered me was a friend of hers lost his sight later in life with diabetes, and he came over to the house one night to visit Mama and brought his dog. He had just gotten a dog. He'd been blind for 10 years, and I remember him saying, "You know what, Martha? Today I walked around my block for the first time in 10 years by myself." And he said, "Tomorrow morning, I'm going to the grocery store by myself." And he said, "Without this dog, I could not have done it." And prior to that, he said, "I walked every day around my neighborhood."
And that's something. That's great. All right, ladies, we have to take our mid-program break and remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. All right, here at Substation 2, we make fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week. People come back every day, every day, every day, every day, because they love it here. There's a magical formula that we're all going to recite together so we can tell the rest of the world what goes on here. Are you ready? At the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Ah, well done. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Relax with a certificate from Founders Federal Credit Union and maximize your earnings. Whether you're saving for a down payment, planning for retirement, or simply growing your nest egg, Founders has great dividend rates. Get guaranteed returns and the security you deserve with terms from 12 to 84 months. Enable Dividend AMP to transfer your quarterly dividends into your Loyalty Select account, our highest yield savings account. Open a certificate today. Visit an office or foundersfcu.com to learn more or apply for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill. Providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at piedmontmedicalcenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Hey Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. If you missed the first part of this program, you have missed something. This is fascinating, learning about how they train guide dogs. We have two ladies here, Dixie Yerta, who resides here in Rock Hill. And we have this lady from the north. You know, she's from that suburb to the north, Katie Tyler. She's come down here. These two are in a club together, that volunteer organization that takes puppies from day one and gets them to the point where they are obedient, and then they go off to Guide Dog University. But I just ask you, Dixie, you say you're dogless right now.
I'm dogless, but I am a puppy sitter.
What the heck is that?
The Charlotte group has all these different puppies that the club is raising.
Right.
And if their particular puppy raiser, like the one I have now, the puppy raiser went to Alabama for the birth of her very first grandchild. So she didn't want to take the dog with her while she's playing with the new baby. So I'm keeping her, and I do all the commands and socialize her. Took her to church last Sunday. I took her to the American Legion to play bingo.
Did she call out any numbers?
She was awesome. All those veterans just went crazy over her. But she went back home, so I will wait my next opportunity to puppy sit.
So you stay in this position of puppy sitter for a period of time?
Well, that's up to me, and I have developed some back issues, some problems. So keeping a puppy full-time would be kind of hard.
I got you. All right. So you're on the injured reserve list.
There you go.
Okay.
That's
right.
It.
All right. So you all successfully get these dogs to the point where they are obedient and they can do 20 commands. And then you call Southeastern Guide Dog and say, these dogs are ready to go to...
No, they call us.
They call you.
They call us. There's something called IFT, in for training. And you get the IFT notice about a month before the dog goes back. And we all anxiously await the beginning of the month when the IFT lists come out to know who's going back to school the next month.
Who's going back to school?
Correct.
What does that mean? You mean you had somebody that went to school and they didn't turn out too well?
Well, they were born there.
Okay.
And then they come to us, so now they're going back to the university.
All right. Do you have any puppies that you all send on to Guide Dog University, and they are there, and they say, no, they need some retraining before we go on? with them any further?
They do, but they usually do that locally. They very rarely go back to the raiser for that.
Okay.
Our dogs go down there. They stay for 4 to 6 months of intense training, and our primary goal is guide dogs for the blind. About 50 to 60% of the dogs make it as guide dogs because it is the highest standard of training a dog can do. I mentioned earlier that you can teach a smart dog to do anything.
Uh-huh.
The thing that guide dogs have to have is something called intelligent disobedience. If you give it a command, that dog has to determine whether it is safe to execute that command. In other words, if they're standing at a street corner where there's traffic and you say, go forward, the dog has to be able to look around, say, it's not safe, we're not going. Intelligent disobedience. So about 50 to 60% of our dogs make it as guide dogs.
Oh.
So 40 to 50% don't.
And what happens to the 40 to 50%?
When I first started at the school, they were almost always given back to the raiser. So when I was on the board, I chaired a task force to investigate doing veterans' dogs. And we decided that an alternative service for our dogs could be serving a wounded veteran. And we started the Veteran Service Dog Program. And from there, it has blossomed. There are many alternative services that these dogs go into, including going to GuideStar families that lose a service member in combat.
Gold Star families.
Gold Star families.
Yeah. Yeah.
They go to children who are not old enough to get a guide dog yet, but they have a condition that will probably cost their sight as they get older, mm-hmm. so that they learn how to work with a dog.
Sure.
So there's a lot of alternative services that these dogs go into now. But the number one thing is these dogs go to their recipients at no cost to the recipient.
No
it
cost.
Is no cost.
100% free.
My God.
Their travel, their stay at the school, and they're very valuable when they walk out the gate with their dog and they have not paid a dime.
I mean, when you think about the hours and the days, I mean, you all do it, plus the Guide Dog University does it. Whew.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bunch of kindness. Let's put it that way.
The number one question we get is how do you give them up? And it's hard. There's a lot of tears.
Yes.
There's a lot of anguish. A lot of people turn them in at one end of the school, walk down to the puppy department, and pick up another puppy on them to drive home with. But I have met every person that has gotten one of my dogs. One of them in particular was a lieutenant colonel in the Army who lost her sight in Iraq. And she and I are like sisters.
Isn't that wonderful?
Spend vacations together. We spend time together.
Isn't that great?
It's incredibly rewarding.
Yes, I can see. I can feel the old goosebumps on the arm. I mean, that's really interesting.
When you watch one work that you trained, one that I raised, puppy raiser, second one is with a visually impaired lady in Florida. Once a year, I go take Jan and Teresia out to lunch. Teresia jumps on me. She plays with me. When I get there, she's a dog. And Jan will say, it's time to go. Tara, she gets up. She looks at me. It almost makes me cry. And I can hear her say, Mom, I have to go to work. She goes over there to Jan.
Dixie Yurta, Katie Tyler, thank you for the work that you do. By the way, if you're interested in this, guidedogs.org.
Mm-hmm.
Guidedogs.org. You all are doing a fabulous work. I hope we can do this show again
in
the future, all right?
Yeah.
Really, great work you all are doing. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, the Doc and Buster are here, so we're going to get a good performance out of this. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. Between 10 in the morning and 9 at night? All right. How do we do it at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.